23. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultations. O sing, ye all ye citizens of above. Glory to God, all the in the highest. O come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Number 3. Ye, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. O Jesus, to thee we go again. World of the Father, now in fresh appealing. O come, let us adore him. Let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Okay, let's start at page 143. O little town of Bethlehem. Just 1, 2, and 4.
Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Ye in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and dreams all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born, O Mary, and gather all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep the watch of wandering love. O morning star, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. O holy child, O Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the glad acclaiming tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord. He is.
pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. This day you have given us. A day of grace you have given upon every one of us this day. Lord, be with us as we continue our service. Be with the pastor today. Be with all those who are coming, even now. Be with them and protect them from any harm. And be with us this rest of this day as we continue our praise for thee. And all these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Verse 1.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty Son and to become the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, love your whole. Christ, the Lamb of God.
Verse 3.
I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side.
That's a good song. 281. Verse 1.
There is coming a day where no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. Amen. 334. There you go. 334.
As we travel. sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share tears and rejoice in his victory in this family so dear.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joined theirs with Jesus as we travel this sun. For I'm part of the family of God.
Verse 2.
The door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be, but praise God I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joined theirs with Jesus as we travel this sun. For I'm part of the family of God.
Singing. First Corinthians, we're going to continue our study on this book. Chapter 1. If you would stand, we'll read a couple of verses and I'll ask you to be seated. First Corinthians chapter 1. Now starting with verse 13, just all the way to 17. You follow along with me. Notice what the Bible says. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you, underline or highlight that word, baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I, he says it again, baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had Verse 15, baptize in my own name. Verse 16, and I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. Verse 17, he says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Continuing on in our exposition, our textual exposition of 1 Corinthians, we ended it with, last Wednesday, we ended it with the divisions. We closed and we said that, looking back to verse 12, that the division in this Corinthian church was because men were following men. People were following people. Some were saying, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and I of Christ. This early church was divided over people. And then secondly, they were divided over a doctrine, and that is the doctrine of baptism. Okay. Now, if the early church, with the access that they had to the apostles, the 12 apostles, and Jesus Christ, if they had problems and they had the confusion and misunderstanding and divisions about this doctrine of baptism, don't expect that the modern Christian church will not have problems. And the truth is, as I said last Wednesday, there is no denomination that has greater divisions than the Baptist denomination. Okay, there's not so many sects of Roman Catholicism. Islam has about four or five different groups, different types of Muslims. But Baptist, oh my, when you say Baptist, they're... As I said, there's an independent Baptist, there's a Southern Baptist, there's a missionary Baptist, there's a fundamental Baptist, there's a free will Baptist, there's you name it. I can't even think of the rest of them. There's so many. There's at least 20 different types of Baptists. Okay, so what's the issue? Okay, well, let's look at the issue that the Corinthian church had. That is the issue on baptism. Needless to say, look at verse 14. It says, I thank God that I baptized none of you. Why? Why was he saying that? Well, there were some that were boasting or being puffed up about who baptized them, as if it mattered who baptized them. I was baptized by Paul. I was baptized by Apollos. I was baptized by Cephas. No, I was baptized by Christ. And that was the division. And they were having this... Well, you know, contentions, according to verse 11, over who baptized them. So Paul rebukes them and says, I thank God that I baptized none of you. I'm thankful that I baptized none of you except for Crispus and Gaius and maybe a couple more, Stephanas and the household of Stephanas. And apart from that, there's no one else. You know, and secondly, if you understand what's going on here, you understand that baptism is not important to salvation. But in order for us to understand, and we have to dig and study the scripture deeper, okay? Because nowadays, in a modern church, in a modern world, there are cults that believe that water baptism is necessary for salvation. Okay, do we believe that you need to be water baptized in order to be saved? The Roman Catholics teach that you need, it's a sacrament of baptism. The infant gets sprinkled. I was watching that Greek Orthodox priest. He was all over the news how he would pick up a baby. He had a water. How many of you saw that? Well, just my family, I guess. We were watching the same channel. This Orthodox priest, they say he's the most famous priest in their church. He would pick up those little poor little babies and dunk them in the water and lift them back up a few times. I think seven times, and he would flip the baby upside down. I'm thinking as a physician, I'm thinking the nostrils are facing up. When you dunk the baby downwards like that, the water goes inside and goes into their lungs. they can they can aspirate the water into their lungs. But, you know, it was quick. He was doing it quick. So the babies looked fine and the parents were rejoicing with that. But that issue of the proper baptism goes way back. So we need to define and understand the doctrine of baptism tonight. Amen. As a church, we have to know why and what we believe, first of all, and why we believe what we believe. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Okay? One baptism. Now, problem, most people believe that is a water baptism. I'm talking about Baptists, okay? Most Baptists believe that that is water baptism. I'm going to show you a problem with believing that because you fall into the Camp Bellites camp. Camp Bellite comes from the word, from the founder of the Church of Christ, Alexander Campbell, okay? They're called, in among the Baptist circles, they call them water dogs because they go by Acts 2:38 as their proof text that you need to be water baptized in order for you to be saved. Okay? Now let's start with a text. Okay? John chapter 1 verse 31. John chapter 1 verse 31. Keeping in mind what Paul said in the book of Ephesians, that there is one baptism. Under one Lord, under one faith, under one Spirit, there is one baptism. Let's go to John chapter 1. Okay. Let's look at starting with verse 31. Actually, let's start with verse 29 on the testimony of John the Baptist. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. This is John speaking here. He says, therefore, underline that phrase, that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water. Okay? And John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending. Are you familiar with the story? Verse 33 says, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. But if you read the following verse, the rest of the verse, of verse 33, here's what he says. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with what? With the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Bible, I submit to you tonight that you will find seven incidents or types of baptism, all pertaining to the one true baptism of Ephesians chapter 4. In John chapter 1, verse 31, the first thing you see is John's baptism. Okay, John's baptism is one of the water baptisms. But it was for a very specific purpose and for a very specific people. And who was that?
The Jews.
Look at verse 31. I baptize that he should be made manifest to Israel. John's baptism was to manifest the Messiah to its king. Okay? First baptism. Go to Acts chapter 19. I'm still on John's baptism. Acts chapter 19. I think I've shared this this text with you in the past. So first, there's John's baptism. Then in Acts chapter 19, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, verse 1, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, followers, mind you, okay, believers, he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto then were you baptized." And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Well, it seems to me that the baptisms in the Bible are not all the same. Here, we've looked at two texts, John chapter 1, Acts chapter 9, talking about two different baptisms. Not one, according to Ephesians chapter 4. No, the Bible never goes contrary to itself. You agree? So it's either we don't understand, or we were taught wrong about Ephesians chapter 4, or the Bible is wrong. I'm going to go with the first. Amen? The Bible is never wrong. Okay? If there's something there that seems contrary, it's because of the teaching of men, of improperly dividing the word, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's move on. Look at verse 5 now. Verse 4 of Acts chapter 19 still. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance." Okay, pay attention to that. John's baptism was the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Isn't that the text that he was talking about in John chapter 1? Okay. When they heard this, they were baptized. That's two baptisms. They were baptized under John, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is not one baptism. Okay? Now here's how that works. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38 now. This is the proof text of the Church of Christ and everyone that believes that you must be water baptized in order for you to be saved. Acts 2:38. In Acts 2:38, it's Peter speaking to Israelites, mind you. But they like to ignore that fact that he was speaking to Israelites. They just skip all of the rest of the verses before that, and they like to jump ahead to verse 38. Verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, the Church of Christ, they like to just jump right ahead to this verse without looking at context. Okay, next Sunday school, I'm going to bring you a handout on loss of hermeneutics. Loss of hermeneutics. There's about 10 of them, maybe 12. Okay, I'll bring you this little manual. It's a piece of paper, a page that I printed for everybody for Sunday school. They're called Loss of Hermeneutics, of how to properly interpret Scripture. Now, Acts 2:38 pertains to John's baptism. John's baptism, how do I know that? Well, look at verse 36. "Therefore, let all who? The house of Israel." Look at verse 22. Back up to verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, by miracles and wonders and signs," who is in context here? Which group of people is in context here? The Jews. The Israelites. See, the Israelites, if you were a Jew today, if you were an Israelite, that nation had rejected their Messiah, had moved away, had walked away from their God. So the calling of John the Baptist is for them to repent and turn back into their God. That's called repentance. And the way to signify that they had done that was by getting baptized under the water baptism of John the Baptist. Okay? That's the first baptism. Now, In John chapter 1, he says that, but there shall be one that will come after me who is greater than me, whose shoes latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, baptism of the Holy Ghost, is it a water baptism or is it a spiritual baptism? Okay. Go to Matthew chapter 20, verse 22. Always comparing scripture with scripture. That's the law of hermeneutics. Okay? There's a law of context. And then there's a law of comparing scripture with scripture. Matthew chapter 22. Look at that verse. Matthew chapter 20, verse 22. This is Jesus Christ speaking. On the mother of Zebedee asking for his children, for his sons, to sit on the right hand of Jesus Christ. The answer of Jesus Christ was this in verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, "You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Verse 23, and he said to them, "You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with." Now, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the sons of the Zebedee brothers get baptized under John? Is that what he was talking about? Well, no, the sons of Zebedee were already disciples of Christ. As Jews, they were already baptized under John, just as Jesus Christ submitted himself to John's baptism, because he was an Israelite to fulfill all righteousness. So he must be talking about some other type of baptism that is not John's baptism. Okay? That's called spiritual baptism. Now go to Romans chapter 6. Verses 1 to 3. Under this spiritual baptism, not the baptism of John, under this spiritual baptism, look at Romans 6, 1 to 3. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are led are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? That's a very important text. Because to be baptized into Christ means to be saved. Amen? To be baptized into Christ means to be saved. Now, if there is no other type of baptism but water baptism, the Church of Christ got you on the back of your neck. They're going to grab the back of your neck like this. You're going to turn your head and your eyes to this verse and say, if there is only water baptism, and if Ephesians chapter 4's baptism is by water baptism, well, look at this verse, Baptist. According to this, there's a baptism that brings you into the body of Christ. Well, you say, well then, is water baptism a part of salvation? That's what they would argue. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And the truth is that this is not talking about John's baptism. This is talking about salvation, being baptized into Christ, into his death. Look at verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Being baptized, when you become a believer, you know what, in reality, what this lecture is talking about, you know, baptism is an image of death and being buried. When you get saved, when you and I get saved, in reality, what this text is saying is when you died with Christ. The moment you placed your trust on Jesus Christ, you died with Him. You were buried with Him. And just as He had resurrected, you have resurrected into a new life with Him. That's not water baptism. That's spiritual baptism. Okay? Which brings us to the third type. So you have John's baptism. You have spiritual baptism that joins the unbeliever when he gets saved to the body of Christ. And then you'll get to the believer's baptism, which is an act of obedience to picture or typify as an image to portray what happened inside of you. Do you understand? When we get baptized in the back right there, Zoe, my kids are going to get baptized when the winter is over because it's cold right now. They're not getting spiritually baptized. What they're going through is the believer's baptism, which is an image or a type or a testimony to what happened to them in the inside when they got saved. You understand? That's important to understand. Water baptism is not always water baptism. Water baptism is just a type.